I reach the highest ground. Ain't gonna let nobody bring me down. It's Pastor A.F. Riggins. Wrap it up live right here on Blog Talk Radio, 516-387-1217. Hope you're listening in. Hope you're ready to talk with us tonight. We're going to talk about student discipline challenges. Who is responsible? What is our response? Let me say it again. Tonight, we're talking about student discipline challenges. Who is responsible? What is our response? This is based on the situation that happened about a week or so ago with the young lady in South Carolina. It was the resource officers, they called them, in some schools because they do not have a in-house police department. For instance, here in Houston, a lot of our school districts, whether it be HISD, Sci-Fair, A-Leaf, Fort Bend, Katy, Spring, ISD, several other ISDs, we have our own police departments. But in smaller towns, or smaller school districts, smaller regions, they will use a local constable office or precinct or use a local sheriff department to contract the police officers into the school, and they're called resource officers then. And what usually happens is when you have a student that have a discipline problem and gets to a level of cannot be handled by the educators or administrators, the classroom educators, administrators, or if there's a fight or violence is occurring or illegal activities such as drugs, weapons, guns, so forth, then we want the police officers to be involved or the resource officers to be involved in the situation. However, in this case, a young lady was asked to leave the classroom, or the teacher wanted to be removed from the classroom. The young lady was refusing to get out of her desk. If you want a full account of the story, you can go and read online, or you can read or watch some video clips somewhere in the news media feed. Matter of fact, our engineer, Ms. Rihanna Pigos, may chime in and connect us to some of the links where we can read about this at a certain point tonight. However, when the young lady refused to leave the classroom, it got to the level that police officer became the one responsible or took the responsibility of trying to remove her from the desk. And if you would see the video that someone was taken from within the classroom, he literally flipped her, body slammed her out of the desk onto the floor. Need to say he's not employed anymore, but even the sheriff that fired him still blamed the incident on the young lady, and in some ways we're going to discuss this also. Mr. Baron Glass, hope you're out there. Mr. Ron Spikes, if you're there, other of our listeners that are normally listening, if you want to chime in, we hope that you're out there and want to chime in a few minutes. Let me give you my background. I've been blessed to be educated in the classroom for the last 17 years. I've literally worked at four different school districts, one which you would call maybe kind of a pristine, my first assignment, being a coach out in a rural area. And matter of fact, first year was just placed in pre-AP classes and what we would call regular ed classes. And then the second year, I signed up to go work what we call in an academy, students that were having problems and had discipline problems. And that would weigh on you quick. And then I moved into Houston area and spent some time, a couple of years in North Forest ISD with open classroom concept. All of my teaching experience had been in middle school, and it was eye-opener. And at the time, we still was using corporal punishment, and a lot of that was going on, and students were trying to fight teachers and disrespect. I've seen young ladies fight police officers and so forth. So I'm not immune to any of this. Then I went to A-Leaf, where, if you know anything about Southwest Houston, there are a lot of gang activities involved, and about 4 years on what we call a middle school campus. But then I ended up teaching 6 years at an alternative school, in which most of the students either had criminal records, anything from misdemeanor to felonies. So most, a lot of them drugs, stealing cars, some, a lot of assault and battery, a couple of, or up for some charges for murder. I've known some kids that murder, adults murder kids, kids who've committed suicide, kids who have done some atrocious things, that I can't even repeat, don't want to repeat on a public radio show right now. So I'm not, so I've been very well versed and involved in this type of activity. I've had kids to fight me in the classroom. Profanity was just it's just a matter of everyday language. And now I work at a school district I will not name because I'm employed there, and it would be a conflict of interest for me to name the school district, in which I do see some behaviors where students of disrespect adults using profanity, disrespect our authority, and some try to be violent towards teachers or make violent remarks or threatening towards. So, given all that, this discussion tonight is we want to talk about, should a police officer put his hands on a student the way this police officer did? Once we handle that situation, I want to talk about where was the student's responsibility at in this? Where are the parents' responsibility for the behavior of students? And then how do we respond to students who are not disciplined? Let's talk about acutely how to respond in different situations similar to this, and also systematically, how do we begin to change the way students are acting out in classrooms? Wrap it up live with me before I give my thoughts and bounce off of you. I want someone to jump in and share some ideas with us tonight. Who's out there who want to talk to Pastor A.F. Rickens?
Hey,
Pastor
Dr.
Riggins, I
Higgins,
want to
this is
let.
Pastor.
Yes, I hear someone, a
Oh,
young
please
man
go
speaking.
ahead.
Who is that?
No, you go ahead.
No, go ahead, Pastor George Nelson.
I was just gonna say your line's open. That's all.
Okay, yes. Pastor George Nelson, how are you, brother?
I'm doing well, man. How you doing?
Good, good, sir. Glad to have you in tonight. Why don't you talk to us?
Glad to be on the line.
Yes, sir. Why don't you speak with us and give us your thoughts?
Well, we're living in different times, and we're living in the second and third generation of. I feel for the teachers that have to teach in the environment today, because we're dealing with a third generation of parents that, of students that their parents, had difficulty of respecting authority, especially in the school district. I'm of the old school where our coaches and teachers, well, our coaches used to walk around with paddles, and if you were a problem in the classroom, you go see the coach. That was the end of the story. Nowadays, you've got, I think the problem is, and this is my pick on it, you have law enforcement that have instructed kids, especially, that your parents can't touch you, you know, and my problem is that if you touch a child in your home, you got educators that will intervene and deal with it. Now, I'm not talking about child abuse, but I'm talking about just basic discipline. That you have people that would now, not out of concern for the child, but more so just because of their behavior and their character, getting involved in people disciplining their children in their own homes. It's at a point now, you don't want me to deal with them, and then you want to blame me for the way they respond to you when they're outside my privy, and I think that that's a problem. I think there has to be a conversation on how we discipline our children.
Yes, sir. Very much so, Pastor Nelson. And I want to ask you a question. You're still in Brenham, Texas. My first job as an educator. Do Brenham ISD still use the sheriff department or local sheriff or city police as the resource officers, or does Brenham ISD have their own police officers yet?
No. They still use BPD as the SOR.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, sir. Right. And
you know that contributes to the pipeline of prison in a large sense, because school is not school anymore as much. You know, we had to fight. There's some nuts down here that really want to arm teachers with guns, and and I have an issue
in Texas, right?
Yeah, what I know in Brenham, but yeah, in Texas, they want to arm teachers with guns, and my problem with that is that our society is so unbalanced that I have a problem with you having a gun, and you don't care about people of color.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to shoot the Swartz or the Cruises or the people with big names in the city, but you don't have a problem with shooting a Nelson or a Smith or a Williams or a Jackson. And so, and you're not trained in, that's kind of crazy anyway, because you're not trained in lethal force and how to de-escalate. You're not trained in it. You're supposed to be teaching. And so I'm afraid that, you know, my concern is that emotionally you're not ready to be packing a gun as an educator.
Yes. Yes. Yes, sir. Now, Mr. Our engineer in the background has told us that other people out there are on a call, but there's too much background noise going on. So all lines are muted. If you want to talk, you need to press 1 so you can come in, because our lines need to be muted because there's so much background noise in other areas. But if you want to talk, press 1, you can come in. Now, our engineer also, Ms. Rihanna Pigos, is a special education teacher, and she was about to come in and talk also. I want you to have some words, Ms. Rihanna, and we'll keep the discussion going.
Well, I was originally earlier just going to let everyone know that their lines were open, because we do have a lot of people on the line tonight, and I appreciate the comments that we just heard as well. It's very concerning to see how that student was treated. Now, that doesn't mean that says nothing at all about her behavior. You know, whatever behaviors that, you know, she was exhibiting, in my mind, that's completely separate. That's a whole separate issue from what I saw in this video. And the comment that was just made about the prison, school-to-prison pipeline, I saw a student being treated like we unfortunately see people being treated when, in the mind of a person in a position of authority, that person is a criminal or has committed a crime. And, you know, being a defiant teenager, not following the direction of a teacher, that's not the same as criminal behavior. But, you know, what criminals or persons who have committed crimes deserve to be treated that way by a person with a badge anyway? So I just think it's a whole, when you zoom out and view the picture from a, you know, further and further away from it, you just see the layers of problems this one little piece of video indicates. And we see the problems that, you know, the layers of problems on the side of how we treat people in general as human beings, how officers interact with the public, and then, you know, the disciplinary side of things. There's a whole set of, you know, layers upon layers of that side of things. So this is just it's disturbing video. I'm really happy that this officer is not working with children. I don't believe that he should have been working with children anymore after the previous incident of violence. And we've just got to do a better job choosing who's going to interact with our kids. We want role models interacting with our kids. You treat people a certain way, you treat people like criminals, you're going to, you know, people are going to act like how they're treated. And what I saw was someone who wants to exert power, intimidate the powerless, so to speak.
Yes, yes.
And that's not teaching.
Yes, and I want to get into some of this. Both of y'all's coming. First of all, I've sat in meetings with Southside, on Southwest Command Post here in Houston, down in Richmond and Derry, Ashford, and it's called Pastors and Clergy, that we get together and we try to work in the community. I mean, not pastors and clergy, police and clergy. I always say it wrong. Police and clergy. I'll say it one more time. Police and clergy, we try to get together to work with in the neighborhoods and work with some problems. And one of the things that came into that meeting, some of the other outreach agencies that come and work with us came in and said they look at the test scores of African-American and Hispanic young men in the third grade if they're failing reading. If they finally fail a reading, they contract out to these private prisons for how many beds that they're going to need going forward in the future.
Yeah.
And so it's like you say, school to prison pipeline. That's one thing. The second thing I want to talk about is that the response to the young lady's insubordination did not fit what she was doing. Here's what happens. As I gave my background about all the ways I've been involved in students in disciplinary actions and problems, the first thing you need to do is everyone is involved with students needs to be trained with sensitivity. And the first sensitivity training you get involved with students is talk about how do we communicate to de-escalate a situation, not to escalate it. Since they took our corporal punishment, so now we got to use what we have, and that's communication. So, I mean, and in this case, corporal punishment was not going to be an issue either because you can't even get out the desk. And then you start corporal punishment as the last result. When we did use corporal punishment, I was a coach in Brenham, and also in North Forest ISD, we were able to use corporal punishment. Most when you use corporal punishment, you use someone who is doesn't have a who is neutral in the situation. If a student was giving problems and a parent comes to school and says, I agree for a paddling, they would call down to the coach's office and ask me to come to my panel. Now, the parent is there. The parent's upset. The administrator is disappointed, and the student is there. I go in as a third party, and they say, give her two or three licks, or give him two or three licks. I walk in, say, young person, young man, young woman, put your hand on the desk. I give her two or three pops. I walk out. And so, and see, because I don't have, it's not out of emotion, not I'm mad. I'm not trying to hurt anybody. I'm just the executor. I'm just doing that job. Well, that's all that's out, so we don't do that anymore. In the same way, if a student is acting a fool in the classroom, don't want to get out the desk, don't want to do what the teacher's saying, do it, the first thing the teacher has to do is to try to de-escalate him or herself. Two ways you can make this happen. Number one, all the other students in the classroom may have to be removed because now you take away the audience of the student. Because a student at 13, 14, 15, 16 years old wants to save face. They've hyped themselves up in front of their friends. They've decided to dig in, and now they want you to come down to their level because they can't come up to your level, but they can sure bring you down to their level. So you need to remove them from the situation. When you remove the rest of the students, 9 times out of 10, that student's going to quit acting out because they have no more audience. because now you took them out of the classroom. She or he going to want to get up out the desk anyway to go out the classroom. You've got what you wanted. Now, they may go out the classroom, start running down the hall, throwing things, or get out there talking more noise, but they still got up out the desk. And now we can do something else about that situation. Move the rest kids back in the classroom. Now you got them outside the class. You can proceed on to whatever your action needs to happen. That's the first thing. Second thing is, if the student refuses to get out the desk or doesn't want to be moved or doesn't want to do whatever you're asking them to do, then what you're going to do, you're going to find out is, can a counselor be involved, get a parent on the phone. It's almost like if you have a SWAT standoff or you have somebody trying to talk. You say, Pastor, why did it take all that? Because a lot of times the groundwork hasn't been done at home. The student is not getting disciplined. That's what Pastor Nelson was talking about. We got a generation of students not being disciplined. They don't bring their kids to church. They don't go to church. They're not teaching kids responsible for their actions. Well, in other words, this is how they discipline their kids. If you don't do right, you're not going to get a new pair of Jordans they're supposed to buy you. So the kid does 10 things wrong, do one thing right, and say, now can I get those Jordans? And to pacify them, they go ahead and pay $200 to get a pair of Jordans. And so the kid get rewarded for bad behavior. So now you're in the classroom, you don't have a pair of Jordans for them. All you're trying to get is get them to get a grade and get a conduct grade, and they don't want that. So you don't have what you need to pacify them. So now the parent has to be involved so you can get the parent to try to come do the work that they're not doing at home at the school. And that's one of the first things that needs to happen. Yes, sir.
And can I interject something there?
Yes, sir.
We're living in a time where, let's not kid ourselves. The system is set up. It's mm-hmm. really a bunch of propaganda. The system is set up for our kids to fail. And as the sister said, there is no, you don't, slamming a child against the wall, there's no excuse for that. So,
yes, sir.
We're not going to, I mean, I don't even want, there's no conversation for me for that. But how do we deal with unruly children? How do we deal with our society today that's out of control? Is that we must understand the times. We must understand all that's going on, propaganda that exists that has conditioned our kids' mind and law enforcement is a large part of this because they have an agenda. As you said, at the third grade, they determine how many beds they're going to need for prisons. And so, it's all about greed, money, and all that feed into that. And we've got to educate. It's all about education. Now, you can't educate people if they're unruly or if they don't want to be heard. And I know I would not want to be a teacher or educator dealing with the children we're dealing with today, not because of the children, but most of all because of the parents and because of the grandparents. Because this is generational. It's dysfunctional. And unless we call a spade, And when you start talking like that, you become, you're labeled as a hater, you're labeled as a, conspirator, you're labeled as, but the truth of the matter is that we're dealing with dysfunctionalism in our society today, that there's money in poverty, there's money in prisons, there's money, it's all about, the bottom line is that it's greed. And in order to keep indigent workers, I need to keep them uneducated. Because if they don't know about most black people can't fathom making $100,000 a year. They can't fathom that. So most of them can't fathom $50,000 or $40,000 a year. And so when you're talking about modern day, I hate to use the word slavery because Uncle Ben used it, Ben Carter, but one of the things is that for most of our people, they're making under $30,000 a year, which is, you know, they got the poverty level at 23,000. I remember 23,000 being a decent salary. But in order to live today, you've got to be making over $30,000, $40,000, $50,000. And in order to excel, you got to be higher than that. So when it all boils down to it, it's a system. It's systematic. It's systemic. Yeah. I mean, and that's what we gotta start addressing that, and we gotta start talking about that, because you know we're not entrepreneurs as much anymore. We're not inventing things. We're not manufacturing. We're not doing anything. So all our kids got to look forward to is the Jordans, you know, to try to imagine themselves being greater than what they are. And even though it's nothing but a ruse, they have to, it's you know, they have to play, just like Halloween was yesterday. Everybody played a character. And that's what we do in real life. We play characters, but without substance. And so there's no substance there. So we've got to start addressing what's really going on. It's really capitalism at its worst. Not that capitalism is bad, but it's capitalism at its worst. And I've got to have indigent workers. I got to have people that are not intelligent. So I feed into that. The prison is a big business. Criminal justice system is a new slavery. We got more black people in prison than we had in slavery. It is the new slavery. And so we've got to start addressing those things and waking our people up to understand this character and this attitude is going to get you this. And you're really playing into the hands with all this foolishness. Now, a child don't understand that. Teenagers don't understand that. All they want to do is get their freak on, have a good time, and look better than the person next to them. That's all they want.
Yes, sir. Yeah. And you stand in front of class trying to teach them history or teach them mathematics or how to read and write, and they're not trying to hear it.
Yes, sir.
They're not trying to hear it, right. And so that's a lot of response. What you're talking about tonight, Pastor George, this is Pastor George Nestle for Grace Fellowship Baptist out of Brenham, Texas. Matter of fact, you're one of our honorees on Friday night at our first Excellency in Pastoral Ministry Awards for Real Life Church. Is one of our honorees for all the work he's been doing in the Brenham area in Washington County since the 1990s. And so we're glad to have you on tonight. And what you're talking about is who is responsible. And so... so it doesn't. The responsibility doesn't start with the child. It's what I hear you saying. It starts with a mindset of the community. It starts with the parents. It starts with us being able to show that there's a bigger vision, a bigger picture that the students might not understand. So you're talking about responsibility. If I'm correct, I'm right, sir.
Exactly. You're dealing with
drop call. Drop call, Miss Rihanna. Tell you what, it's about the time what I want to do anyway. Heaven Knows by Dietrich Haddon. Heaven Knows, and we'll pick him back up or any other caller. After this song goes off, Heaven Knows, let's try to get some other people to call in along with Pastor Nelson Coutinho in our conversation.
The homeless is still homeless, the poor is still poor, yet we find billions of dollars to fund senseless war. And yes, we're fighting terrorism, what about the quiet racism, dividing among ourselves, somebody's crying for help, heaven is listening. Heaven is
watching.
Heaven knows. And they may not play this on the radio, cause the devil don't want you to know. If we don't stop the hypocrisy, the nation will lose its soul. and rather play music about money and sex. Like we don't have no intellect. Somebody need to show some respect. Cause God ain't through with us yet. Heaven to listen. Heaven is watching. Heaven knows.
Try to get a little Rance Allen in there. Heaven knows. Anyway, you know, this is my show. I can do a little bit, something like that. Anyway, we're talking tonight live, Rabbit Up Live, Pastor Avery Higgins. We're talking about the student challenges, discipline in the classroom, in the schools, who's responsible, what is our response. We've been talking, we've been having some discussion with Pastor George Nelson, founder of Grace Fellowship, Dr. George Nelson Jr. now. He's a founder and senior pastor of Grace Fellowship Baptist in Brenham, Texas. We also had some comments from our from Ms. Rihanna Pigos, who's our engineer, but also a special education teacher in the classroom. We have any other callers out there that want to chime in. Are you out there, Baron Glass? Are you out there, Ron Spikes? Are you out there, D? Are you out there? Talk to us tonight. I'm getting some text in from the engineer. I don't know what she's telling me, but Pastor Nelson, can you continue that thought you were having before your phone shut out on us?
Well, you know, my final word on that, as far as I'm concerned, is that, you know, we can talk about the problems and we can also offer solutions, but we just can't talk about it. We got to be about it.
Yes, sir, that's very much sure. We got to be about it. And the work you're doing in the Brenham area, you've been about it for a while. Life skills for people in the neighborhoods and community, jobs, training, working with students and mentoring and daycare and school and all those things that you're doing in the community. You're one example of what we need to be doing all across the nation. Is there any other callers out there that want to chime in about how do we, what is our response? We, like as Pastor Nelson said, we already know how we feel about the officer. That's ongoing. That's just like a situation happened with Eric Corner, Michael Brown, the kid in Cincinnati, and the list can go on and on. It just wasn't a gun this time, but the same impact and same effect of over exhorting yourself, being the judge, the jury to execute on the spot. You know, the young lady didn't die. But she's scarred.
Dr. Riggins.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Dr. Riggins, one of the, and I don't know if there's any other callers, but one thing about it is this too, is that you've got to have people that want it. If they don't want it, they'll never reach for it. They'll never. It's the most frustrating thing in the world
is to have the answers, to have the solution, and people don't want it. They only want, you know, you gotta get away from just wanting what you want to make you feel good, but you gotta look at the bigger picture. You know, we've got a multitude of people that have become complacent and apathetic in their situation. And as you know, one of the biggest problems that I deal with in the Washington County area in Brenham, Texas, is apathy and complacency. I've had nothing. I'm used to having nothing. I've learned how to operate, maneuver, and function with nothing, and so I'm cool. I'm okay. I'm okay with nothing. And if you try to pull me out of that nothing, you're pulling me into an unfamiliar area, and I will resist you. I will fight you when you're trying to take me to a place that might be better for me, might be better to me, but I've gotten comfortable in my situation, and I just don't want to change.
Mm-hmm. That's right, sir. That's right. And thus a product of that from the parents or from the community or the students acting out in the classroom just
it becomes generational. It becomes generational.
Yes, sir.
It becomes generational. It becomes generational. And as I share with people, the only people that, you know, when you deal with MHMR and you've been in there, when you deal with MHMR patients, one of the biggest things that you have to stop them from doing is masturbating, and I hope I can say that. And they know about that. That's all that's on their mind. You have to stop them six, seven times a day, because that's all they do. Well, we got people that are walking the street that are holding down jobs, and the only reason they have the job, the only reason they even want a place to stay or to drive a certain car is so that they can enjoy the pleasures of sexual activity. And that's all they live for.
Right.
And so you're a functioning MHMR. You might not be classified to get a blue check, but you are functioning, and that's all you're concerned with. And let me tell you, when that plays out, you find yourself being old, decrepit, you don't have anything, you hadn't saved for anything, you hadn't done anything, you hadn't achieved anything, and so you don't want to see anybody else do it, because it shows you up, it makes you look bad because of the fact that you have not achieved what you could have achieved, because you've been single-minded in your character, and so you make sure that those that are coming behind you follow the same trail.
Yeah.
And you're right, brother, because when I walk into a classroom, as you know, I have not said on this radio program where I teach yet, so I won't have a conflict of interest. When I walk into the classroom, the students talk about two things, fighting and sex.
Mm-hmm.
Fighting,
yeah.
And sex.
Yeah.
Fighting and sex. And they have videos of two things, fighting and sex.
Yeah.
See, so they have videos of them fighting in the streets, video of them, of people gang fighting each other, video of people double team, triple team, videos of adults and children fighting, videos of girls doing things to boys, videos of boys pulling trains on girls. And you say and you know they have it because they're talking about it. Now, if they have the phone out in the classroom, I can take the phone from them and confiscate it, and I can bring it down to the office. But they don't have it out in the classroom because they know I'm gonna take it. So, but they're talking about what they have, and so then you have to redirect that conversation. You have to get on the phone and call parents and talk to parents about what their child is talking about in the classroom. But you don't have any literal proof in your hand. You just hear them conversation. So then you have what you call the level of conversation got to be in the classroom got to be zero, which means you cannot talk. because you don't want to have any educational talk, no academic talk. You don't want to talk about the lesson. You want to talk about stuff that's nothing on the lesson. And then have the audacity to have an attitude because you can't talk. You salty. You in your feelings. You salty. You don't want us to talk. Because you wouldn't come here to talk about, you didn't come to talk about the lesson. You come to talk about everything you want to do before school, after school, and what you can't do in the restroom while you're at school. You didn't come to talk about the work. And so,
all school becomes is a meeting place for a hookup.
Right. Yes, sir. That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
I'm not going to school to get my education. I'm going to school because that's the local hookup place.
Right.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That is right.
And sad to say, many of our churches have become that. Many of our churches have become that. Yeah, they're the local hookup place. Now, folks don't talk about it, and I'm not saying all churches, but many of them have become that.
Mm-hmm.
And not only the churches, but that's the main thing that's on people's mind, and you can't talk to them about stuff that matters.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to deal with. I'm sorry. Let me get off my soapbox.
You're right, though.
Right.
And it seems like the theme running through all of this on the adult side of things and then on the kid side of things is avoidance of
exactly.
the real issues, of reality.
Exactly. Man,
now.
My God. My
all
God.
Avoidance.
My
and
God.
We got to do better. We just have to do better.
If we don't talk about it, then it doesn't exist. But
okay.
The truth of the matter is that it does. And it's killing us. It's killing our society. It's destroying our community.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't get a grip, if we don't get a hold of it, then, you know, I'm at an age where I feel for my grandchildren who are about to enter into adulthood. And
mm-hmm.
I feel for them. I feel for the kids that are part of my ministry that I'm looking at, and they're intelligent, bright, smart, beautiful children. But if they stay in this environment, they're going to become victims.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
because nobody really cares about them, not because they're not intelligent, bright, smart, and astute. They don't care about them because they don't look like the ones that are in control.
Mm-hmm.
And so they become castaways.
Yeah.
They look at them as commodities. They look at them as indentured servants, and they look at them as toys.
Mm-hmm.
Let me say something. I'm gonna bring out a scripture because we're trying to make Sunday morning meet Monday morning is what this show is about. And there's a scripture that says, give no place to the devil. Let me show you what's happening. With the type of mindset, the type of activities, everything you've been talking about that we're involved in, we give place for the racism and for the injustice already there to become evident because we set it up. In other words, if this little girl is not acting a fool, then the man doesn't have no reason to come in the classroom and do the stupid stuff he does to her. That makes sense? Because you could already be doing right and encounter racism. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
My income bracket and the jobs I should have, a lot of times I didn't get it because of systematic racism. I'm doing everything, trying to do everything right. So I could be doing right and encounter that. I could be doing right and encounter injustice just because of the color of my skin or my income bracket. But then if I do stupid stuff or do what's wrong or have the mentality of not doing right, I'm giving place for the devil to even do more to me.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. See, we could talk about the racism and just all that we want to, because we're not going to give them a pass on that. The officer was wrong. He should have lost his job. He should have been charged with assault and battery. All that stuff.
Yeah.
But the girl from the beginning should get a little butt up out the chair and do what the teachers say do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So two wrongs.
Yeah.
Right. Two wrongs will make a right. She's wrong and he's wrong. And I can't find neither one of them right in the situation. See, so this is, in other words, there's a couple of situations we've dealt with the police killing some people where you can see where you can find writing. If it's the man pulled over, don't have a driver's license, and then he get ready to get out the seat, and the guy shoots him back in the head, he didn't do anything wrong. Walter Scott take off running. He running because he got child support. But this girl knew she was supposed to get up out that seat, did not want to get up out the seat. Sandra Bland wasn't doing nothing wrong. The man kept on trying to agitate her. This little girl knew she was doing wrong. So she gave place to the devil, and I can't give her that pass. And so from as an educator, as a pastor, as a father, I have a child in the eighth grade. Once again, see, I didn't tell you it was a boy or girl or anything. I got to keep my show where I can be able to do my show. And so I have a child in the eighth grade. That child that I'm a father of, I don't expect my child in eighth grade to act a fool at the school. And I teach eighth graders who act a fool. And I tell them, I'm not going to take it from my child at home. I'm not going to take it from you in this classroom. But then there's a way to deal with it, not the way that he dealt with it.
I'm older than you. I'm a few years older than you. And in my day, the parents and the teachers partner. If I did something wrong in class, they would call my mama. My mama would, if she had to leave her job to come and see about me, my mama whooped me one time. I'm in kindergarten. And my mama came to the school because I done took some milk and cookies from somebody else. Teacher called my mama. My mama came up there and tore my butt up in front of class. You can't do that today. The parents have taken the power away from the teachers. Don't touch my child.
They'll come
and
fight you.
And so the legislators have taken the power away from the teachers because they said if you touch a child, you lose your job. It's been the perfect storm is what we're seeing today, because I don't want to talk about police brutality, because if we get into police brutality, that's a whole different subject. But if we talk about should policemen be in the schools, they might need to be in a certain part, but that was a time when the teachers had so much control over the students that I knew that if they called my mama, it was over.
That's right.
But not today. You got mamas that come up there and fight the students.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, fight the teachers.
And the students, yeah. And, yeah, see? Go ahead.
Yeah, and fight the students. But
that's right.
That is because we're dealing with dysfunctionalism in the home.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. Well, I grew up, brother. I know I'm a little bit younger than you, but if I got a whipping at the school, they call my mother. My mother would whip me, and because my mom had to whip my daddy, I got three whippings.
Yeah.
If I got a whipping at that school, if I got a paladin at that school, and I got a couple of them because your preacher's kid going to try his little thing. You know, good thing I got, saved when I was 14. I still had to get delivered by the time I was 16. But you know, you're going to try a little bit of something. Well, I got saved when I was 11, really. But you're going to try a little something. And you try something, that paddle you and call your mama and say you got a paddle.
Mm-hmm.
My mama didn't usually whip us unless we got in trouble at school. She always turned over to our daddy. But when she decided we got in trouble at school, it's going to be three whippings that day. And there wasn't no waiting. Well, because usually a whipping went like this normally. We did something wrong. She'd tell my dad said, I'm going to get y'all later. He'd go home for 2 or 3 weeks, and he'd remember everything from the first thing, the last thing you did back to the first. But when it came down to school, that was on the spot right there, going to handle that today.
Okay.
Principal whipped me, called mama. Mama got the left hand with the belt and whipped me. Then my daddy got some big switches and finished it off. And he says, I'm not killing you. I'm whipping you now so the police don't kill you later.
I mean, that's where the
first thing when the Michael Brown thing came out, one of the things I did both sides of the story, and people got mad at me on Facebook about this. because I did a side of the story about the police had no business doing what he did, but I also said this boy been in alternative school and been out in trouble and all that kind of stuff. Somebody somewhere dropped the ball to get him into that situation. Because if you get a whipping, because I compared to Agent Peterson, he whipped his child name. He whipped him a little too hard, and he was kind of out of, he whipped him, he was kind of a little bit angry, hit him in the wrong place. So my dad used to back off and take a breath, kind of cool down for the whippers. But Agent Peterson's motive was right. If somebody get enough of discipline at home, then the cop don't have to try to get you the taser later, don't have to try to get the nightstick later, or shoot you and ask questions later. And that's what we're dealing with right now.
Well, they took that as a teachable moment. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. The Adrian Peterson thing is a joke because, in the Anglo community, they got time out to speak to children. But in the African-American community, we got switches.
Yes,
and the worst thing you wanted to do is to go get your own switch.
Yes, sir. So,
you know, we've got a society now that has demonized parenting and then tell you don't know how to parent. Well, based on who? You know, you want me to parent like you parent, and that's not the way our culture has been brought up. And so we've got to do things differently. Yeah, there are some kids you can just talk to.
Mm-hmm.
But there are some other kids you got to put the fear of God in them.
Right. Yeah.
I guarantee you, I got children, but I got grandchildren now. And they'll tell you right now, you don't want to miss a pawpaw.
Yeah.
And my grandson is 16. My granddaughter, 13, and they'll tell you right now, you don't want to miss Pawpaw because you don't want to go in the room understanding because there's a room that you got to go into that you're going to get some understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And they've never been in trouble, never had a problem, don't sass teachers, do their work. And look, you got to get back. You got to get, man, look, you know, too many people have gotten into the lives of people, but it's dysfunctional. It is out of control, you got too many babies raising babies. These young kids who got a whooping are having babies, and they don't want to do to their babies what their mamas did to them.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Or what their grandmamas did to them. And so you got too many babies having babies, and now – and they don't know the first thing about race, and they make their children their friends because now you got a lot of single parents, and you know you're trying to replace what you're missing in your child, and your child can't handle that. They're wiser yet weaker.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Let me tell you what. This is what two things I want to bring out of this. And I know this conversation probably didn't go away. Some people thought it was going to go because they thought we were going to spend time talking about the police officer the whole time. But that's why I asked, what is the response? Who's responsible? Two things. Number one, what makes me upset is that conservative-minded, right-minded, the right-wing conservative religious people are talk all about not abusing kids, not whipping and everything, but they want to talk about they believe in the Bible. All through Proverbs, the Bible says, beat him with the rod, he will not die. Beat him many times, you'll save his soul from hell and his mother from shame. Now, take that. You can't take that out of the Bible. Don't come to me with the Bible, try to tell me how to live about all kind of stuff, and then you want to take that part out of the Bible because you want to go put your son in time out. No. You won't kill nobody whipping them. Now, here's what happens. You can't start whipping that child at 12 years old. No, sir, no, ma'am. At 12 months old, don't touch it.
The Bible also says, bend the sap while it is young.
That's what I say. At 12 months old.
You can't wait till it grew into a tree.
Yes, sir, right. 12 months
then
old. Don't touch that table.
Down.
Yes, sir. Don't touch that table. What did I say? Don't touch that table. Pop that hand. Don't do it. Turbo 2. Don't do it. Oh, you want to do it anyway? Oh, you want to have a fit and dance? I'm going to show you what the dance is about. You whip them, when they're young, and go call the police for me. Whip them while they're young. At about 5 or 6 years old, you might have to put another little second round on them. By the time they get to double digits, 10 and 12, you gotta be able to whip them. You might get one a year then, because they're gonna show out and try to start smelling themselves. Like my mama would say, smelling himself, or she want to get too fast or too fly. But by the time they're 13 and 14 years old, I got my last whip when I was 15, because it was no sense then. I already knew you done already, like you say, done bit the sap while he's young. Nobody had to break me down no more. So now, so that's the problem. So we fuck with my way.
My grandson is 15 years old. He's 6'5" and a half, and weighs almost 300 pounds. Now, what a Bill going to do for him?
Nothing. But you got him when he was 3. You got him when he was 2.
Amen.
You got him when he was five. You got him when he was 3 feet tall. You got him when he was 4 feet tall. Yes, sir. Right.
And right now, he'll try me. He'll try me to test my strength. And all I got to do is put them knuckles in his chest. All right, Paw, I'm through.
Yes, sir.
All right, Paw. You know, and look, my wife, my son, when he got the same age, he thought he was going to buck her. And he knew better, but he tried her. She put him down. She ain't had a problem out ever since.
Mm-hmm.
I tried
my
when I was 15. And I ain't going to tell you what she hit me in the head with a can opener. And I've been living with my mama ever since.
Yes, sir.
Look. You know, being the sap while it is young. And I know it's getting quiet on the other side over there, but because we're talking about corporal punishment. But you've got to deal with people. Mm-hmm. You got to put the fear of mama, the fear of daddy in them before they become young adults, because by that time it's too late.
Yes, sir. And let me tell you something else, and I know Ms. Rihanna got some words that she want to say. Let me tell you something else. Our creator of this show, Mr. Baron Glass, if he's listening there or listening to archive, he'll tell you his mother's 85 years old, and she'll still whip them, all of them grown, in their 40s and 50s. And that's what you got to understand. If you need it, you're going to still get it. Ms. Rihanna Pigos, what you going to say?
Well, I just want to add, I'm a little bit younger than you, Pastor Reagan. Not too much, just a little bit. But most of my friends don't identify when I recall this, these memories. But I know exactly what you mean when you say go pick a switch, and you better pick the right one too. It better not be too thick. It better not be too thin. It better not be dead. You better not have gotten off the ground. So you know, I know exactly what you mean, and I feel like. I want to make the distinction for anyone, you know, listening who might be, you know, going, ooh, I don't know, right now. We're not talking about mindless, you know, what that officer did was mindless abuse.
Yeah.
No questions in his head to ask, no assessment of the situation, no real thought. He just mindlessly abused a child because she was, you know, he butted heads with her. She wasn't giving him the control, you know, of the situation that he desired. That's just mindless. What we're talking about is something entirely different. I would never pretend to understand what it's like to feel that I have to discipline my kids in a certain way. Get to them before the cops do, so to speak. I've not had to deal with that in my life, but I certainly understand that is just simply a necessity in a lot of homes across this country, and that is something that is not happening so much anymore.
No.
And it's extremely important. And It's crucial. And every one of those moments, those interactions, like this officer had with this girl, she didn't get up and run out of that classroom. She was refusing to leave that classroom. Whatever it is that she needed and wherever this is that this came from within her, she didn't run away. She didn't try to escape. She needed some discipline, real discipline. Kids, you know, they may act like and say that they don't like whatever's happening when they're being punished or disciplined or lectured at or, you know, spanked or whatever it is. But she did not run away and escape. She was right there in that classroom. And whatever it was that she needed, whatever discipline that should have been rendered, she was sitting right there looking for it. And that officer dropped the ball. Every moment is a teachable moment like that. And we need role models in our schools. And we need to get real with our kids. Somebody needed to tell her and needs to tell her now, do you understand the history of propaganda in this country? Do you understand what all these eyeballs looking at this video, what they're saying, what the myths that are perpetuated and that we're all just inundated with constantly. Now you're the, you know, uneducated, angry black girl. You know what I mean? And she needs to hear that's what you're up against. You're up against a bunch of nonsense, and you have to be better than that.
Gotta be better.
You just have to be. And so, I mean, the ball was dropped in every area of this, and it's just
And what I've seen in her was two or three different students, maybe half a dozen more.
Not condoning her actions.
No.
Not condoning her actions, but saying that you need to understand that your actions had a part in this, but he was wrong because he could have broke her neck. He could have broke her leg. He could have broke her shoulder. He could have done a lot of damage to her. And and so we're not condoning that. We're not condoning your actions, but we're not condoning his either. And so I agree with you 100% that we have to, you know, it's time to wake up and start teaching. Well, it's not like they don't know. In many cases, like, they don't want to know. And what's, you know, oh, man.
Can I make a comment?
Pastor.
Go ahead.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Okay.
Can I make a comment?
How you doing? Can you hear? Yes, sir. Can you hear me, D?
Yes.
Yes,
sir. I can hear you now.
Okay, all right. Hey, D, go ahead. And then I got something to say after that. Go ahead, sir.
Okay, I think the one thing as far as a teachable moment, and I'm not sure if she's a foster child or not. I've heard that. I'm not real sure. But somebody needs to sit this young lady down, and you need to YouTube some of these cops shooting videos and explain this young lady. Bring out some of these T-shirts where her looking pretty on her 16-year-old birthday or whatever it was, and explain her. If you can't conduct yourself better than that, these are the kind of problems that you will invite. This could have been prevented by you and you alone. Now, we know that cop was a jack, you know what. And if you ask that cop, if somebody would do one of his kids like that, where that cop would be, looking for him. I can't do my own child like that, but you can do it in school. That's amazing. But that young lady needs to be sat down and talked into a fashion or to a, in a certain way where she understands that this is real. Nobody's going to play with you out here in this world.
Right.
That's right.
And I agree. All our kids need to be taught that.
Yes, not just her.
All of
right.
them. I think that's a universal conversation that we have to have.
Yeah.
Right. You know, here's what happens. When I go back into the classroom tomorrow morning or any given day of the week, I face, like I say, from my first period and maybe a couple other periods, at least a half a dozen to eight students similar to her that will come into the classroom talking about nonsense, and when you try to stop them, they're going to be flippant, smart at it with you,
They're going to use cuss words sometime among themselves, sometime against you.
Yeah.
And it's because somebody is not telling them from the beginning about respect, about honoring, like D said. Nobody's telling them about the consequences. And one of those gentlemen, I'm going to give you a couple of incidents, and we're going to get come to editor close. One of those gentlemen, they kept dealing with him in all kinds of different ways. And the coach is taking up for him and trying to intervene for him and trying to mentor him. But at one point, his mother wanted to come to the school and fight the principal.
Mm.
And they quelled that and got that kind of squared away. Finally, last week he tells a teacher that does not teach him, trying to get him to stand in line, that if she don't shut up and quit talking to him, he's going to have his whole family come up there and she's going to end up dead. So guess what? That turned to a terrorist threat. So they took him down to the police station. When his mama went to go get him for the police station, there was a warrant for her arrest for some drug dealings. Come on. See?
Oh.
So she got arrested too. See, the apple don't fall far from the tree. That's what I'm saying. See, so in my classroom, he cutting up, acting a fool, cussing, going on. And then, you know, I had to keep on trying to get someone to discipline him, do all this stuff. But meanwhile, a lot of times when I do those kind of students, I've been in the system long enough, 17 years teaching, that I don't need to do a lot of paperwork on you. I just kind of mark you too. I say, you're going to be today or tomorrow or next week. So somebody else in somebody else's classroom, some will come out worse, some coming up in my classroom, and some going to come out of it. And every time, because what you're doing in one class, you're going to do it in another one. And what you're doing, maybe I can minimize somewhere, you're maximizing it somewhere else. And sure enough, it'll come out. Right. It'll come out. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. So what we want to do is we want to become responsible for the education of our students, we want to be responsible for the discipline of our students, responsible for the education of our parents, responsible for the discipline of our community. We've got to take our responsibility of training our own so that when we face the forces out there that act like a jack, A, as B put it, or senseless, mindless, as Ms. Rihanna put it, we already know that, listen, that we give no place to the devil showing up because we are doing what we're supposed to be doing.
But Pastor Quiller, Pastor Reagan,
yes,
that brings us back to the church, but they won't come. That brings us back to the church, but they won't come. You know, the staple in my life growing up is my mama always had me before the altar.
Mm-hmm.
And that kept me from standing before the judge. So we have a lot of people and society, not only society, but society has demonized the church so much so and that the church has become a adversary instead of a
advocate.
Advocate. For what's going on in our community, and today there is no other entity that's concerned like the church is concerned. Now I'm not saying all churches; some are just concerned about other things. But I'm saying we have the church is the place. And man, it's we got to get back to it. We got to get back to it. That's the foundation of our community. Has always have been since we've been brought over here on the boat. Always have been, and we've gotten away from that. And so, you know, because we want to be included, and we got to stop wanting to be so included that we get away from things that have brought us through.
Yes, sir. Let me give you a historical perspective of that, and you're going to agree with me. The only thing they let us do without supervising us or regulating was church.
Mm-hmm.
Every Sunday evening at 3 o'clock, come on, or whatever the time it was, you can get away on a Sunday. You can go down to the river, y'all get away from the plantation, get away from the house, go out there and have church.
Mm-hmm.
So y'all get ready to work in the morning. When we decided to desegregate, come on, we said, wait a minute, we leaving the church to go play golf with you. We're leaving the church so we can go ride horses with you. We're leaving the church so we can go to the ball game with you. We're leaving the church so we can go shopping at the mall with you. We're leaving the church
because the church got us out of the situation. Never going to leave the church to go and hang out with you. And now that we hanging out with you, now guess what? My children acting a fool. I can't get the community together. All our men are stuck up in prison. We can't keep the family together because we decide to leave the church to hang out. I'm sorry. I start preaching. To hang out with you.
My goodness.
And somebody will tell you that, you know, you're taking it too seriously. But that's, if you look at it, that's exactly what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because at the beginning, let me tell you something, and I'm trying to close if you let me close. And now I look like I'm preaching. I'm trying to close if you let me close. If y'all help me, I'm going to close. The first day of the week is not Monday. That's the second day of the week. That's why you got the Monday morning blue, because you didn't do the first day of the week right. You thought the last day of the week was Sunday, but the first day of the week is Sunday. The first thing first, you get up on a Sunday. I don't care if it's 8 o'clock service. I don't care if it's 11 o'clock service or 3 o'clock service or the night service. Or if you got to get off this phone right now, go find a midnight service. But on a Sunday night, you got to get your Sunday day. You got to get yourself together. Go out there and find somewhere to get in fellowship with some believers, to get yourself together, get some word, get your life, get your mind on right. Because you're going to act a fool all week anyway in some kind of area. Even if you're not acting a fool in the flesh, you might got a fool in your attitude. You might act a fool in the way you think about life. So somewhere you got to fix yourself. None of us are perfect, you know what I'm saying? So on a Sunday, you need to get yourself together, go get you some church, or get the church in you, so that when you brought that child to school, to church on Sunday, when that child walked into that school on Monday, it'll decide that it will listen to the teacher, not try to act like they're greater than the teacher. It'll decide that I'm mad with the teacher, but instead of me taking it out on the teacher, I'm going to wait till I get my parent up here to talk. See, sometimes the teacher may be wrong. Sometimes the teacher might be having a bad day. Sometimes the teacher may be racist. Sometimes the teacher might not be treating the student right. But it's not the student's job to try to become the adult. But if you're taking them to church, if you teach them about life, then they could turn around and say to the parent, I'm going to wait till I'm going to call my mom up here. And they call the mom up there, and the mother comes acting in good faith, and the school might be even acting in bad faith. Things can be straightened out. But we don't bring our kids to church. We don't go to church. We don't do it right, and then we want the world to treat us right. Mm. But anyway, y'all help me close. Help me close.
Well.
The song is called Mercy. It's by James Ingram, who was brought up in the church. He spent a lot of time in the world, but he didn't make an album that reflected his life and where he came from. The song is called Mercy. We'll hear the song, and we'll come back with some thoughts to wrap up tonight.
Dry tears so full of sorrows, troubled mind, hoping you'll see tomorrow. Save his heart and soul, save his soul. I hear a sound beyond the distance crying. Black winds blow cold, where dreams are dying. Jesus, won't you please
have mercy on me.
And I know I'm so weak, so weak, and you are strong. Your name, oh Lord, please hear me calling. He's lost his way, help him to keep
you will. I know you will. Praise be thy name, O Lord, O God of mercy. Help ease my pain. Wash all his sins away. Jesus.
I think we're not muted. I think we might be live. I heard it was muted earlier. Singing Have Mercy. I won't try to hit that note. Anyway, Pastor George Nelson made a comment earlier about we take our kids before the altar when they're young. They might not be older. They might have to go before the judge. Mr. Baron Glass posted this as he's listening. Thank you, Baron Glass, for listening out there. One of the guys that was tagged in the post says, "You said a mouthful, brother. Better the mercy of God than the judgment of men." And it kind of went right with the song that was playing right as he said that. And so we got to find the mercy of God better than the judgment of men. And so we got to start with our own, bring them back to where they belong. That's in the arms of safety, in the arms of God. And so that we won't have that many more young people, that many more, like the young lady being flipped out that chair on top of her head. Or we won't have that many more people maybe dying in the streets by unjust police officers. We understand we can't erase racism. We can't erase injustice. We definitely become responsible to make sure that we are trying to steer our children and the next generation the right way. That's my closing thoughts for tonight. Anyone else have any closing thoughts before we leave this air of the song, Be Blessed by Yolanda Adams? Anyone else?
Brother, you said it all.
Thank you, Pastor George Nelson. Thank you for being on tonight. Thank you for all you've been doing in the Brenham area and across the state of Texas, keeping the legacy of your father, who marched with Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and was a great radio personality in Houston, keeping that legacy going even in this generation, then raising your children and grandchildren to do the same. Thank you, Ms. Rihanna Pigos, for being an engineer in the background. Thank you, Mr. Baron Glass, for the creator of this show and pushing others to the show through others through social media and other ways to listen. Thank you for those who contributed. Thank you, Mr. D, for you always love to engage you, brother, because you're a young man in the community in your 30s, pushing forward. A lot of guys in their 30s still playing around, don't know how to get their life together. But we thank you very much. May God bless you. It's our prayer on Tuesday night at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. We have our Bible study right here, 516-387-1217. Real people, real life, real answers. Thank you for all our listeners out there, the silent majority. We know you're listening. That means you're supporting. Hope that you're learning. Go tell somebody. Go share it with someone else. The good news. That's what the gospel is. The good news that you heard tonight. Wrap it up live, Pastor A.F. Riggins. Be blessed by Yolanda Adams. Amen. Thank you.
darkness, Lord, have passed your way, and you're all washed out, 'cause it rained on your parade. Seems nobody cares about you anyway. Now you're living your life like a castaway. Search for strength inside, was it all in vain? 'Cause the deeper you dig, you find more and more pain. Don't let your tomorrow be like yesterday, 'cause I spoke to God, I called out your name, and on your behalf, I just asked if he would be there for you. Have you to do, be blessed. you want right now, but it sure could be a lot worse. Just be blessed. Let him do a work in